This morning our reading will come from Acts chapter 17, verse 22 through 27. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might for him and find him through. He is not far from each one of us."
Today, our question is, what is God's plan for me? You know, we sometimes struggle with this question. A lot of people struggle with this question. You know, the Bible teaches that we are free people. We as Christians have been freed from sin. Now, in living in America, we know all about freedom, don't we? Because we have more freedom than most places on the earth. So we understand the concept of freedom. And spiritually, because we are Christians, because we are a part of God's family, we have freedom in Christ. But even though we are free, the Bible also teaches us that God has a plan for us. And it is a plan that we need to follow in our lives so that we can be close to Him and close to each other as a church family. Now, when we say that God has a plan for us, what exactly does that mean? What does that mean to you to know that God has a plan for you? Does this mean that God maps out every little detail of your life and expects you to follow it to the letter? Or does it mean that we have absolute freedom, we have absolute liberty to live our lives as we please, do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it, however we want to do it? Actually, Acts 17 is addressing this. He is addressing this to a group of prominent men of Athens, philosophers, if you will, who, as we find out as we read Acts 17, are following the Greek gods of the Areopagus. He speaks about God's existence here in Acts 17. He also speaks about God's prominence when he mentions the unknown God. He also talks about why God created men. And then in verse 27, he says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. Yet He is not actually far from each one of us. Basically, what was being said here is that God wants us to seek Christ. It is our responsibility to seek Him. And we need to understand that this is not as difficult as we think it may be, because He also tells us that God is not far from us. He is actually much closer to us than we think. So what I want to do this morning, I want us each to ask this question to ourselves. What is God's plan for me? What does He have in store for me? What does He seek for me to have in my life as I live each day? Well, first of all, I want to suggest to you that God's plan for me is to have life. You know, God gives life to all. And God wants us to have life. We go back to the beginning in Genesis and we find that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He became close to God because he became a part of God. We are ourselves a part of God. And Paul tells us that God is the giver of life. Paul also tells us that God gives us everything that we need in life to maintain life. Now, I know a lot of people will tell you, well, you know, nobody ever gave me anything. I've worked for what I have. I have toiled. I have labored. I have brought things into my house. I put my own money in the bank, and no one has ever done it for me. Who gave you the abilities to do the things that you do? Who gave you the opportunities to achieve the things that you have achieved? To learn the things that you have learned? To accomplish the things that you have accomplished? No, my friend, you didn't do this alone. God has given you these abilities. God has a plan for you to succeed, and He helps you every day to succeed. God truly wants us to live. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have an abundant life. In fact, He tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." This was His purpose in coming. He came to teach us how to live, and He did so through example. He came to give His life a ransom for us so that we can continue to live even when this life is over. Unfortunately, there are forces in this world that would take away our life. And I'm not just talking about physical life. I'm talking about the enjoyment of life. And you know, unfortunately, sometimes we may find ourselves to be our own worst enemy in this regard. Listen to what Jesus said about this in Matthew 16, beginning with verse 25. He said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" You know, as we go through life every day, we get up in the morning and we go to work. We get up in the morning and we go to school. We get up in the morning and we carry on the daily activities that we do every day of our life so that we can have life. We want that paycheck on Friday. We want to be able to go places and do things and enjoy the things of our life. And we work every day to get there, don't we? How many times do we stop and think how fruitless these things are when compared to what happens to us when we take that last breath? And very few people think of it this way. But when we take our last breath, we are literally taking our first breath, because life has just begun for us. You see, there is no beginning, there is no ending to eternity. And what we do here on this earth is insignificant in time compared to eternity. God wants us to have life. He wants us to have eternal life. It is God's desire to have life that extends beyond this life, which is why we are all here today. Everyone here today wants our life to continue after we take that last breath. We want to be able to stand before God in judgment and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We do not want to hear Him say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire." And He will say one of those two things to every one of us when we stand before Him in judgment. Whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, or accept it, it will happen. You know, one of the greatest verses in the Bible that explains living in life is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. And this is such a beautiful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's plan for you and for me today is to have an abundant life. He has made it possible for us to have an abundant life here. And I guess every one of us in this room would have to say, in certain ways, our lives have been abundant. We have lived good lives, every one of us. Now, yes, we've all had problems. We've had things to happen in our lives that we wish had never happened in our lives, but they did. But yet we learned how to overcome it. We learned how to get around it. We learned how to go beyond it. And our life became good once again. This is what God is looking for. He is looking for us to have that good life. And I think we can all say that we have had just that in our lives. He wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have an abundant spiritual life while we are here, knowing that we belong to God, knowing that we are a part of his kingdom. And then, of course, he wants us to have an incredible eternal life. And that incredible eternal life will be with him in heaven for all the ages. This is God's plan for you and me. And then God's plan for me is to have love. First and foremost, we are to have love for God. This love must be supreme. God must come first in our lives. There are several passages that bear this out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to me, is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do you know what this is telling me? This is telling me that God is taking care of everything in our lives from A to Z. If we will put him first, he will take care of A to Z. He is going to give us the things that we need. He is even going to give us things that we want, if we are willing to put him first in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And this is paralleling what Jesus said in Matthew 6. That means we put him first. If we will put him first, other things fall into place. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is quoting this verse I just read from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then he gives us, after he tells us to love the Lord in the greatest of ways, he tells us the second of the great commandments is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then in verse 40 of Matthew 22, he said, on these two commandments, these little two statements, hang the law and the prophets. It is so important that we have love. We have a new bride and groom in the audience with us this morning. And they stood before me last night and now come together as husband and wife. And they will tell you one of the very first things I talked about was love. The love that they need to have for one another. The love that we all need to have for Jesus Christ. Y'all meet them this morning before they leave. Maybe we can embarrass them and turn them. Well, I also, Kimmy's already read back there. I'm sorry, I just had to bring. When I saw them back there, I said, I got to say something. If we fail to put God first, if we put something else first in our lives, this is nothing more than idolatry. Now, think for just a minute. Have you ever put anything first in your life? We all have. We have all made that list of priorities in our life. Where is God in your list of priorities? Is he first? I have to tell you, my friends, if he's not first, your list of priorities are incorrect. And if he is first, the rest of that list will come true for you. He has made that promise in Matthew chapter 6. This means that we love God. It also means that we love our neighbor, which essentially is saying we love each other. Go back to the old law, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. He is reinforcing that. You are to love each other. Listen to me, I am God. You are to have that kind of love for one another. And then over in James chapter 2 and verse 8, James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says, you do well. This is what God is looking for. And this also means that we must show love to the strangers. And this one's kind of hard to swallow. Sometimes, all the time, it means we are to show love for our enemies as well. And then, we need to love ourselves. Have you ever thought about you love yourself? You ever look in the mirror and say, I love you? You ever do that? I got to tell you, folks, I've never done that. But we are to love ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about this self-centered love when we look in that mirror, you know, and we'll begin to fix our eyebrows and to fix our hair, and that's about all I can do, and I ain't got much hair left to work with. But we do these things so we can look better, maybe present ourselves in a better way. Some people do it because they're self-centered, and they're infatuated with who they are and what they are and how they're going to present themselves to other people. That is not the kind of love that we're talking about here. This means that you have a proper relationship with yourself between you and your God and between you and other people. Paul said, Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. Now he's talking about his relationship with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In other words, we are together. He is within me. I am with him. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Proper love for self is not pleasing self or gratifying ourselves to other people. Proper love is knowing who we are and whose we are. Paul said in Colossians 3, verse 3, he said, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, Paul said, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. Remember to love him and to have love for each other and to have love for ourselves. And then finally, God's plan for me is to have liberty. God has given us liberty or freedom. And it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You and I can have liberty. Even though things may not be right with our lives, we can have spiritual liberty in our lives. You know, God's truth brings us that liberty. John 8, verse 31, 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we know how to find liberty now, don't we? It is through God. It is through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is through the Holy Spirit, which comes upon us when we obey our Lord and Savior. Another thing about liberty, God expects us to stand fast in our liberty. Paul said, Galatians 5, verse 1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That bondage he's talking about is sin. And it is something that will captivate you. It is something that will grab you and will hold on to you with everything that it has. And we must do whatever we can to be free from it. But here's a thought. We have liberty, which means we have the right to make choices. We are free to choose for ourselves our direction in life. But we must be sure that we make choices to use our liberty correctly. You know, sometimes people misuse their freedoms. This is true in America, isn't it? Which is why we have prisons, because they have misused their freedoms. We find this all over the globe. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to unity," or to liberty. "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love serve one another." So our liberty, even though it's freedom, is still limited. There are still things that we are expected to do and not to do because we have that freedom in Christ. Now the question is, what can we do with it? We've talked about some of the things that we don't need to do with it. What can we do with this liberty that has come to us through our Lord? Well, one thing that we can do, as Paul tells us in Galatians 5, we can put within ourselves the fruits of the Spirit. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. He's got a list for us. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law. If we put these things into our lives, we will have no trouble putting God first in our lives and letting Him take care of everything else. If we put these things into our lives, we will have no trouble loving God. We will have no trouble loving other people. And we will have no trouble loving ourselves. But these are the things that will allow us to do that. But remember, we are not free to let sin control us. We are not free to allow sin to destroy us. Again, the Apostle Paul, Romans 6, verse 12, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust." And oh, how hard that is to stay away from. So what is God's plan for me? God wants me to have life. He wants me to have a great physical life. He wants me to have a great spiritual life. And He wants me to have an incredible eternal life. God's plan for me is to have love. Have love for God. Have love for the neighbor. Have love for ourselves. God's plan for me is to have liberty or freedom. Free to make right choices. You know, there are places on this planet that if you make a right choice, you're in trouble. But make the right choice. We are free not to sin. You know, Eve had the freedom to choose no when she faced the serpent in the Garden of Eden. He didn't grab that fruit and stick it down her throat. He enticed her. He lied to her. He compelled her. He did everything he could to get her to do it herself. And he works the very same way with you. He will never make you do the wrong thing. He cannot make you do the wrong thing. All he can do is try to get you to do it to yourself, which is our greatest downfall, because that's exactly what we do. And we are free to do his will. Now, there are places, again, on the earth where man is not free to physically worship God and to serve God. And God knows it. God knows their limitations. But yet God knows their love. God knows their determination to do what they can for him in loving him. And he will remember that on Judgment Day. Friends, he will remember you on Judgment Day and your efforts in loving him and worshiping him. You are free to do the right thing. I guess the next question for us should be, what are our plans for God? We've talked about God's plan for us. What are our plans for him? Are you a Christian? This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to make plans to give your life to the Lord. If you do not know the gospel of Christ, please find me after church. I will explain it to you in wonderful detail. And then you will know how to be a Christian. It is so important that we put Christ into our lives. Make plans to obey him. Make plans to put him on in baptism. Make plans to serve him throughout your life. Christian, what plans do you have? Do you plan to remain faithful to him? Do you plan to walk with him daily in your life? Or have you walked away from God? Have you planned to put him on the back burner because other things have enticed you and made you look the other way? Or maybe your life has just come into such a way that God is no longer a part of your life. If that's true, my friends, you need to think about your plans. And you need to change your plans and put God back into your plans for him. Remember this, if you have no part of him now, he will have no part of you in judgment. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand to sing this song.